Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Show back here on 105.7 FM, the Fan, 1250 AM, and the free radio.com app. I'm Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer is here along with Leap 36, Leroy Butler.
If I had some Jack Daniels to put in this god-awful Diet Mountain Dew, it would taste better.
I don't know if Mitch would like that.
Dude, it is.
I don't know if he's down with
Mountain Dew, love it. Orange Mountain Dew, love it. All the different flavors, love it. Diet Mountain Dew, I accidentally grabbed it at the gas station, and it is just
disgusting. Me, people listen to you, they think you own something anyway. What difference does it make?
You're right.
So go on, put something in.
Yeah, you're right.
That's true. Yeah, why don't you
go on, put
pour
some
a little something up? Oh, yeah,
Jack.
No doubt about it.
I thought you liked the other brown alcohol. Jack Daniels is your.
I like Jack. Yep.
Yeah, that's his poison.
I thought you liked something else.
Well, I like a bunch of stuff.
Oh, Gary's the bourbon.
He's the bourbon guy. Yeah.
I wonder what Lawrence Holmes drink. No, he's not old enough to drink.
Maybe he is. Lawrence Holmes joining us now from 670 The Score in Chicago. We're going to be with him at Brat Bowl 1 tomorrow down at the Brat Stop. Lawrence, before we get into all this football stuff, Leroy Butler wants to know, what's the Lawrence Holmes drink of choice?
Well, I'm very much old enough to drink. I'm almost Leroy's age. I'm 44.
I'm trying to help you out a little bit, man. People can't see us. This radio.
All right. I mean, look. Don't get me wrong. Yesterday, I did have a conversation with Hawk Harrelson and him getting into the Hall of Fame, where he said, "You probably don't remember 2005 when we won the World Series." I'm like, I was 30. It's the cheekbones, man. Black don't crack, Leroy. You know.
I'm looking at my legs, and it definitely just does. Trust me.
Well, that's why you need to get on that shea butter, man. We can't have you going to the Hall of Fame looking ashy.
Yeah, you got a good point.
So we've been saying.
You got a good point.
Been trying to tell him this for a long time, Lawrence. It's all about the personal maintenance. Personal maintenance. That's what it's about. Lawrence Holmes, host of the Lawrence Holmes Show from 12 to 2 on 670 The Score. Also, Bears postgame show on NBC Sports Chicago. Now, Lawrence, you do that Bears postgame show with a host of former Bears, as we do here, the Wendy's Big Show, the host of former Packers. What is the sentiment in the former Bears camp of what this season has been like for their Chicago Bears?
Well, let me tell you what happened last week after they won the game against the Cowboys. Now, Alex Brown, who is one of the four, so I do the show with Alex Brown, Matt Forte, Lance Briggs, and Olin Krutz, right? That's a heavy hitter crew.
That's a good crew there now.
That's a heavy hitter crew. Now, Alex has been super critical of Mitchell Trubisky for the last 2 years, with good reason, considering the way that he's played. Let me tell you, we were getting ready to do the post show. The Bears looked like they were going to win. Alex disappeared, and I'm like, where's AB going? What's going on?
Right.
He shows up on the set, I kid you not, with a Mitchell Trubisky jersey.
Oh, wow.
On. Now what? I said, where did you get that? He's like, oh, I had it in the car.
Officer said, what running sale did he find that?
He happened to have it in the trunk. So they're cautiously optimistic about what they've seen over the last 4 weeks from the Bears. I think there's a reason to be going into this game with the Packers. That as good as the record is, I'm not sure that the team looks as good as their record looks. And with the Bears, the team thinks that they're starting to reach a stride, that they've had a breakthrough. I still need to be convinced a little bit more, but I give them a decent shot against Green Bay on Sunday.
Decent shot, sure. I'm with that. 7 to 10 points, somewhere in that area probably at the end of the day on Sunday. But what's changed with Trubisky from the first time the Packers saw him to what they're going to see on Sunday?
He's running again. I am in full belief. He got 64 yards on the ground, which is almost half of his total for rushing yards this season. Mm-hmm. I'm convinced that they have been telling him quarterbacks win from the pocket. Tom Brady wins from the pocket. Peyton Manning won from the pocket. And I think that it's been so steeped in him that I can't leave the pocket. I've got to go through these progressions. That's why you're getting a lesser version than what he was last year. And even last year's version was someone that we had some questions about. Last week, I feel like he himself was like, screw it. I'm going to keep on some of these zone read looks. I'm going to keep on some of these RPOs. I'm going to use my legs as a weapon. And that's why I think you're getting a better version over the last couple games. But don't be too fooled. If you look at Trubisky's last five games, the passer rating is still only 95.4, which sounds great, but that's only a little bit above average of what's going on with passer rating around the league. I think he's been better, but I'm not willing to concede to the Bears that they have their franchise quarterback. There is a litany of evidence that suggests otherwise.
Yeah, because you would think, why wouldn't they sign him to his fifth year of the deal? And I'm sure they'll get to that in the spring. I don't like talking, Lawrence, about the obvious. I mean, because I could talk about Khalil Mack all day, because he hasn't had his statistically a good year, but he's still Khalil Mack. I like to talk about the people that sometimes you forget that you have.
Okay.
And good coaches can make them good players. Cordarrelle Patterson.
Oh, let's talk about him.
Now, when he was in Minnesota, they didn't use him right. Now, when he was with the Hoodie, they tried to put him at running back. But for some reason, the one place he's always good at is where the Packers are bad, and that's the return game. I think he can be somebody that can be very good for Chicago, because this guy, no matter where you put him at, he's a playmaker.
I love what you're saying, Leroy, because Cordarrelle Patterson, he on special teams, not just in returns, he's great. He's one of the best gunners in the league.
Yep.
And you'll see it on Sunday. He's difficult because he's got a ridiculous like size, power, speed ratio. That's difficult for guys to deal with out there when he's playing gunner. He's got that burst, too. And they're trying to find little roles for him here and there. They don't want to overexpose him, but they will put him out in a route. They will, and they've had some issues at tight end, so they need pass catchers out in route, so they've done a little bit of that. They will run him in the backfield. They want to get him in open space. I've been so impressed. When they first signed him, I was like, look, the return is going away. Like there's not going to be a lot of opportunities for him to return kicks. He's made the most out of the returns that he's gotten. He is absolutely a weapon. If I were the Packers, I would not kick it to him. Kick the ball out of the back of the end zone. Because if you give him a chance, he took one last week where I'm sitting there going, oh, man, he's going to take it out 8 yards deep in the end zone. Ends up making a great play on it. He's a risk taker. And he's a risk taker who usually gets rewarded for it.
Now, you know, generally, over the years, Randall Cobb, and we all know what he's done to the Bears. I mean, the guy has been remarkable over the years. Aaron Rodgers, I think, is like 18-5 against the Bears or whatever. But my thing is, do they understand that there's nobody in the slot that is just Devontae Adams? Because with Prince not playing against Dallas, which I thought Tolliver played pretty good, do you still think the Bears defense is, okay, shut down Devontae Adams and Aaron Jones, and they can win the game? They think it's just that easy?
I don't think that they do, although it is interesting because I was talking with some friends of mine that cover the Packers that were kind of saying the same thing, that it's strange that you would even consider this, but the way to beat the Packers now is to let Aaron Rodgers play quarterback. Like, that's – it just seems crazy. But if you look at the last two games that he's played against last year's Vic Fangio's defense, game one it was Chuck Pagano's, there does seem to be a little bit of a formula there. I think the first thing they're going to try and do is stop Aaron Jones. You have to earn the right to rush the passer. But after that, I do think that there is more confidence than maybe ever in Aaron Rodgers' tenure as the quarterback of the Packers that they might be able to get after him. And don't forget, guys, don't forget. You talk about the unknown. Leonard Floyd is coming to Lambeau Field.
Yeah.
And if there's one thing we know, Leonard Floyd gets his numbers against the Packers.
Yeah.
This guy has 18 and a half sacks in his career. 7.5 of them come against Green Bay.
And
that's crazy.
It really is, Lawrence. And the way that they've been able to get pressure, not only from Khalil Mack,
especially Hicks,
he was a total game breaker. I was just going to say 96, yeah. Akeem Hicks has just been an absolute grizzly bear, pardon the pun, against the Green Bay Packers. Does it look like Hicks is going to be a go here on Sunday?
It'll be difficult for them to stop him. He's been practicing since the beginning of last week. I don't know that he's going to be out there for 50 plays. I can see a scenario where he's out there for 20 to 25. Like, they'll pick out the downs where they think they need him most against the rush or against certain pass situations and put him out there. He is the emotional leader of their team. Leroy, sure. You know, there's a bunch of guys that when they get hurt, they can go do their rehab anywhere. They usually are away from the team.
No question.
Hitch has been with the Bears the entire time. Mm. The whole time that he's been rehabbing with his teammates. And they're going to get a boost if he's out there in uniform. I think that they'd have to trank him with a stun gun to keep him away from this game.
We had a listener yesterday tweet out that, well, you know, this is going to be like this Bears Super Bowl this week going up against the Green Bay Packers because they're pretty much done from playoff contention, according to this one Packers fan. I remember when Lovie Smith took that job in Chicago, it was all about beating the Packers and that rivalry. How has Nagy approached this rivalry since he's been with
Good
the Bears,
question,
and how
Steve.
Do the players approach it?
They don't even care about the rivalry this week.
Yep.
They care about survival. That the Packers are in their way. Like, they, as far as they're concerned, these last few games have been like the playoffs, where if you win, you get to live for another week. And what they're hoping is that they get this win against Green Bay and that the Rams and the Vikings both lose. Because it sets up a scenario. They have to then go through Patrick Mahomes next week at Soldier Field. But if you get into a situation where the Vikings are stuck on 10 wins and the Rams are on 9, you at least give your last week of the season some value if you beat Green Bay and you beat Kansas City. They already beat the Vikings once. If for some reason Matt Nagy and this crew have the Vikings number, you win that game, the last game of the season, if things fall right with the Rams, you're playing for a playoff spot. You're playing for the wild card spot. So the rivalry has been kind of on the back burner this week, which is nice because I hate talking just about it. I think these are two teams that both have something to play for, and that's what excites me. The Packers are trying to keep their seeding or improve it, clinch their playoff spot. The Bears are just trying to stay alive. So instead of us just spending the week or tomorrow's broadcast talking about, oh, well, let's talk about Ray Nitschke and Dick Butkus. No, screw that. Now we're talking about a game with stakes. I like games with stakes, and that's where the Bears find themselves. If you lose, it's over, and then we can start talking about what happens with Mitchell Trubisky's fifth year. Do they sign him to an extension? Do they draft a quarterback? All the things that have been messed up this past season. But if they win, then it's how do you stop Patrick Mahomes? And hope that you get some help from not only the teams that are playing the Rams out in the NFC West, but from the Packers when they play the Vikings.
Yeah, I like steaks, but bear meat tastes better. But let's be honest now. If they lose and they went from 12-4 to not making the playoffs, is Nagy's job on the line?
I don't think so. I think he's fine.
So they'll give him another year to get it right.
Yeah, they'll give him another year. But I am interested to see what it looks like, because I think there are a lot of Bears fans who have lost faith in Ryan Pace, the general manager of the team. And I can tell you, I'll just give my own personal take on it. Mm-hmm. I don't want him picking the next quarterback. But there's a part of me that is convinced that they are convinced that the only bad thing about this run that the Bears have been on is the confirmation bias that might come with it on Trubisky. That they'll go, oh, see, that's what we were expecting
right.
to see. That's the guy that can lead us into the next era of Bears football. And that's the only drawback to them winning, is them fooling themselves into thinking they're seeing something that they're not.
Well, this is when you just take them out back and finish the job, and this is what the Green Bay Packers can do. But, Lawrence, it's similar to what the Chicago Bears just 1 year ago were able to do to the Green Bay Packers when they came down to Soldier Field pretty much the exact same time last year. It's crazy how this league can flip, and just the parity in this season alone has just been outstanding. We can't wait to be down with you tomorrow, man. Brat Bowl 1 at the Brat Stop. We'll see you there, and everybody should come on out. 12 to 2, you'll find Lawrence Holmes of 670 The Score down at the Brat Stop tomorrow. Lawrence, appreciate it, man.
Yeah, tell Gary to stop ducking me, man. I'm going to see him tomorrow. Uh-oh. Yeah, what's Uh-oh. Up, Gary? Uh-oh. I see you not on the show today, Gary. Yeah. What's up with that?
It's Lodge. Because he said he knew that you were going to try to cash in on meeting some Lodge. Of those
don't punch
meeting some
down.
Of those Wendy's Wendy's gift cards for coming on. He what said he had to hold on to those.
Yeah, don't punch
he
down.
He old and got bad knees.
He got a bad knee, cuz. Don't mess with senior citizens like that. Don't do that. Don't do
Boys,
that.
It'll be good to see you guys tomorrow, man.
All right,
no doubt about it,
brother.
Lawrence. Take it easy, man. We'll see you tomorrow. Lawrence Holmes of 670 The Score, also NBC Sports Chicago, doing their Bears postgame show. He joins us here live, and we'll talk to him tomorrow live at the Brat Stop. Thanks to Kenosha Subaru and the Subaru Share the Love event, putting on Brat Bowl 1 for us. It is at the Brat Stop, the historic Brat Stop in Kenosha,
and
tomorrow. All day, 5 a.m. to 6 p.m.
If you come down, you see Ryan Horvath in the morning at 5 a.m., or you see Chuck Horvey. And Winkler there at from 6 to 10. I'm going to have some shirts to give away. It's going to be the first few for each show. Every show gets so many shirts to give away once they're out for that show.
I like
then
that.
Then you'll have to hang out to the next show. But each show will have so many shirts to give away commemorating that first Brat Bowl one down at the Brat Stop. So if you always wanted a shirt with the fan logo on it or if you're really screwed up and you like the score, they'll have their logo on it, too.
Hey,
you can come
nice.
Check it out.
Just make sure that we don't just put those in the possession of Ryan Horvath, because those will all end up in the trunk
no,
of his car.
Bart.
No.
No.
100%.
Bart will give him
100%.
Our boss is going to be standing next to Ryan while he's doing his show.
That's what I'm just saying. Right. Let's make sure that there's some supervision there.
I have Bart
watching. Horvey will go in and try to cop those on eBay. You're going to trust him?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow, you boys
are the only guy
very,
trust.
Very trustworthy. I'd trust John Young, but, like, those dudes in the morning, yikes.
That's why they work in the morning. Young Express, the company we talk about so much, is continuing to grow.
Mean.
Are you looking for a new career? Would you like to be a part of a Christian-based, family-run company?
Well, I appreciate what they did for the toy drive, too. I mean, that was just unprecedented, the help that he had.
Platinum, I think, is the word you were looking for.
$3,000. That's just amazing. So thank you to John Young.
Young Express company been in business for over 27 years. Young Express right now, they're growing, and they need some more help. They're looking to add positions in their sales departments. You've heard me talk about what a great company this is to work for. Now go and apply online. Different positions open. There's one that's perfect for you. Check it out. This is what they are looking for in sales, right? High degree of integrity. Willing to prospect new business via phone, email, and social selling. Reliable transportation. High school diploma or equivalent. Excellent written, oral, and face-to-face communication skills are essential. Those are some of the things they're looking for. What you can expect, $40 work week, salary plus commissions, bonuses, and contests, generous mileage reimbursement, expense account, health insurance, 401k, a company that cares about you as an individual, a strong support team behind you from ownership, being John Young, on down. Cell phone, tablet, and all sales and promotional materials provided to you by Young Express. Fun and exciting environment and a chance to grow. Apply for the position that fits your passion right now at youngexpress.com. That's JUNGExpress.com. Young Express, success drives
them. Catch a buzz next. It's the Wendy's Big Show on the Fan.
It's time for the Beauforting Sports Buzz of the Day, where we discuss today's most buzzworthy sports story. Brought to you by Milwaukee's most buzzed about beverage. 100% natural Beauforting beer. Go all natural. And drink in the boff.
Bledsoe, what a great move. 13 points for Eric Bledsoe. The Bucks, Marcus, have had first half runs of 11-0, 15-0, and 17-0 as Drew Holiday.
That right there from Jim Paschke says it all from last night's Bucks game. They win their 16th consecutive game. The assist there from Eric Bledsoe as he cashes in. He ended up with 29, too shy of his season high, and needed to step up. And Leroy, I think it's huge when you have a dude, knowing that Giannis sat out. We talked about it a lot last night on the Pro Hoops postgame show. I'm not a huge fan of Giannis sitting at home.
Load management.
Right quad soreness.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
And you could get quad soreness going to the bathroom.
But
so, like,
again,
you're going to tell me that
depends on what
that's
number
nonsense.
It is, but
no.
Yeah, take, point taken.
Because of that goofy rule they created earlier in the year in the NBA.
For sure.
If they would have said load management, a game on ESPN, fine. They would have been fine.
They would have gotten fine.
They can't say that. We can say it, but they can't say
Right, so what happens is you figure out something you can't prove. A back spasm, can't prove it.
Yeah.
Right?
Soft tissue. Just
sore
soft
ankle,
tissue.
Can't prove it. Right? Yeah. Anything soft you tissue. Anything that can't be proved by an X-ray or MRI, you can get away with saying whatever.
100%.
Elbow doesn't feel good. It's sore.
Yeah. And do that tomorrow night. At Memphis. Don't do that at home against when there's 534 jerseys in the crowd, I'm cool with it on the
you
road. But when there's 15,034 jerseys at home, I don't love it.
You and I disagree on this.
Yeah.
And
for sure.
I made this statement before we became MVP land for Giannis, right? So this is before we had Giannis, before Giannis was at this level. We had Giannis, and everybody's getting mad that the Spurs were resting players on the road. Everybody's getting mad that LeBron was getting sad on the road.
Yep.
And I simply made this statement, and I stand by it. If you want to rest your players, you rest your players at home. But when your players are on the road, they play. And the reason is, Giannis plays here 40-some times. Now, I understand. It may be the one time little Johnny can go see him play all year long, and now he doesn't get to see him in Milwaukee. I understand.
Little
I'm sorry.
Johnny has YouTube, but continue.
I'm sorry that you don't get to see him in that deal. But in Memphis, he's only coming once. That's it. So for me, if I'm the NBA, you want to rest your star players, go ahead, but you're doing it at home. On the road, star players got to play. That would be my thing if I was the NBA. That's how I understand it.
I'm on just the complete opposite side of it.
You can't be telling people what to do.
Because if you're the road team, you're selling all those tickets because Giannis is coming into town. If Giannis isn't playing, none of those tickets are being sold.
Hey, better then.
There's a lot of stuff we can't have in
sell,
this world.
Sell on your own team.
Watching a guy play is not the biggest thing. My thing is this. I want to get to Bledsoe. I don't
get into Eric Bledsoe because he balled out last night.
Five or six from three. I'm going to tell you something, guys. If it's one guy other than Giannis that you'll let shoot a three, it's going to be Bledsoe.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to just let him shoot all he wants. And me and Steve kind of alluded to this, that he gets aggressive when Giannis isn't there, but I think more so the game plan changes too because you need more scoring. Because, again, when Giannis isn't playing, and I think you both will agree with this, you're taking off 30, maybe 35 points, 15 rebounds, and 6 assists. Where do you make that up at? So he has to have these kind of games for them to win game, the 20th straight or whatever. I mean, so I like to see – I just don't know where the slander come from the two guys that stepped up. I mean, Middleton and Bledsoe from the fan base get so much. People just
they get tossed through the ringer for sure, no doubt about it.
But the loyal fan base will defend them though,
and
because they say they expect games like this. So it was just remarkable to see.
And that's the part of it too. You expect to see it, but there are nights where you don't see it. And I talked with Matt Velasquez about it last night on the post game show of the Journal Sentinel, and it was just like when Eric Bledsoe is as aggressive as he was last night, setting the table right away. And Steve, I know you've echoed this sentiment as well 100 times. When he is in his zone, when he is being aggressive, taking the ball to the cup, kicking and driving. They need that now more than ever in the absence of Malcolm Brogdon. Malcolm Brogdon is not on this team anymore. No. He was one of the other two dudes when you looked at Bledsoe, Giannis, and Brogdon that would attack the cup and be able to make plays because of their penetration. Eric Bledsoe needs to do that every single night if this team is going to get where they want to go.
Well, that's just it, and I don't know how you fix it. I think it's just a mentality.
It really is. That's exactly what Matt said last night, too.
And that is what we're talking about here when we talk about Bledsoe and the fact that when Giannis is out there with Middleton, he kind of gets that third role of these two guys got it, right?
Yeah, I'll just let them go. Maybe the third option. So I'm not asking for him to do nothing.
I'll just let them do what they got to do, and I'll pick up the pieces if they need me.
As he should.
And then when Giannis is out, or Middleton is out. You saw when Middleton was out. He blew up in games. Eric Bledsoe just went
second
off
option
in a few games and said, I can do this, and did it. Last night, no Giannis. Bledsoe raises his hand. I got it. Don't worry. We got this game. I'll take you. And hit, three threes in the first quarter, and away they went?
Off and running.
Again, that's what you like. The problem is when you get to the postseason, you get to Boston or Philly, I need him every night. You get to the NBA Finals against the
Boston.
Lakers.
That's the one team that gets on his skin.
Clippers, right. Clippers or Lakers in the Finals. I need you every game, Eric. You got to be there. Middleton, you too. But Bledsoe has to be there. He can be such a difference maker when he's on.
Well, I couldn't agree more.
He's also all defense. I mean, he's a defensive. I mean, that has never changed. The guy blocks shots. He does everything. But I like an unselfish guy like that. I really do. When you need me, I'm here. But when both of your guys are out there, your two high-money guys, hey, man, get in where you fit in. But if one's missing or both, then I could turn it up a little bit. I like that.
I also did like to see the love for Eric Bledsoe on his 30th birthday, a little 90s party.
Hey,
everybody looked like they had themselves a good time, no doubt about it. So Eric Bledsoe stepped up last night, and the Bucks moved to 16 straight. They go after 17 tomorrow night against the Morantless.
I'm a big George Memphis Hill Grizzlies. Guy, too, though. George Hill's the guy, man.
Platinum.
You need guys like that.
You and my mother. My mom loves George Hill. She is just in love with that dude. Thinks he is the coolest dude of all time.
Nice.
Works out. Yeah. I mean, there's always those couple of guys that are genuine players. I know Steve Novak always says it as, my mom would ask me, who do I want to cheer for, Stephen?
Right.
And George Hill, I think, would definitely
George
be one
Hill's
of those
the
guys.
Man,
100%. Brian Lammy joins us from Lammy Sports Management. Coming up next, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Sports Hall of Fame, and one of my personal favorites is getting inducted. We'll talk about it next with Brian Lammy on the Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Wendy's Big Show on The Fan, 1250 AM, 105.7 FM. The Fan, it's Bears Week. We're going down to the Brat Stop tomorrow. Come on out and join us. The historic Brat Stop. You guys know where that is, right off I-94. Take a right. Oh, right off there on I-94 South East. You just take a little right. And there you see the historic Brat Stop. And we'll be down there all day long, 5 a.m. to 6 p.m. The Fan versus The Score, getting ready for Bears and Packers Week here on The Fan. Joining us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, Brian Lammy, Lammy Sports Management, and the Executive Director of the Wisconsin Hall of Fame. Brian, appreciate the time today.
Thanks for having me on, guys. We're awfully excited with the big news today.
And, Brian, I got to start. I know 87, Jordy Nelson is going to drum up a very large contingent of fans, and I understand that. But my personal favorite, Brian, I'm telling you now, I woke up each morning to one of those old 7-foot fathead stickers, right, they used to have hanging on the wall of number 4, Brett Favre, with the hands in the air. Tell us about the decision and the ability to now induct Brett Favre into the Wisconsin Sports Hall of Fame today.
Well, as you can imagine, the decision for our committee members to vote on for both of those two guys, with all of the accolades and amazing memories that they created for all of us Wisconsin sports fans, that was almost the easy part because they're both so well-deserving. But to get schedules coordinated and to bring it to Madison for possibly the first time ever, but certainly the first time in a long time, it took a few moving pieces to make it all work. But the response today has been overwhelming, far bigger than any other Hall of Fame induction we've had. So we're excited that the fans are excited to honor both of these two Packers legends.
I think you screwed up. I think you screwed up, Brian. I'm here to help. Why would you put both big name draws in the same class? Why wouldn't you hold Jordy for a class separate from Brett and really kind of, you know, hit that crowd twice?
Great question, Sparky. I appreciate Monday morning quarterbacking.
That's what I do.
That is exactly what that is.
70th anniversary, we're going big.
Yeah, you are.
We're going to have two top guys. We think we're really going to, you know, celebrate in a major way for the 70th anniversary. And I will say these two, you know, names, you know, are big enough, but we'll be adding more folks to it. You know, we also honor a legendary team award, a Lifetime Achievement Award winner, male and female high school athlete of the year. So we will have additional announcements coming, but this one is certainly big enough for today, and we're excited that fans are responding.
So how does it work now for the fans that want to be a part of this? What do they have to do now?
They can call us at 414-727-3605 or go to the website, wihalloffame.com, send us an email, And if they're interested in buying a table, we've got different options for them to come out and be a part of it. And if they're not able to join us in person, we typically are televising these shows and would have a highlight package after the show is over, and we'll likely have some other cool content packages leading up to the Hall of Fame as well. So a number of different ways to participate.
If I participate and I go to this thing or whatever else, do I get an autographed item from Brett or Jordy?
You would have the option to bid on an auction item and potentially walk away with one of those items, but no guarantees. But they're going to be there. We'll have current Hall of Famers there. We'll have other, you know, famous media personalities like yourself potentially there.
That was funny. Good job.
All sorts of excitement and things going on for sure.
That's good stuff. Hey, so We've had you on in the past at the toy drive, and this year, you know, you were busy, couldn't get out to the toy drive or whatever else. But for people that don't know who Brian Lammy necessarily is, I mean, your job, besides this for the Wisconsin Sports Hall of Fame, is also representing players in doing different marketing deals with different players like Donald Driver, like Dancing with the Stars, right?
Yes. Yeah, it beats a real job for sure. Definitely very blessed. We've been doing that for 18 years. So it's definitely been a blessing. We get to work with some great people, like the ones you mentioned. But I will say sincerely, one of the things that I'm most passionate about, and one of the things I think everybody here in the office really enjoys, is this Wisconsin Athletic Hall of Fame property. It's been around for 70 years, the first ever state Hall of Fame in the country, and it's actually been around longer than the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame, or even the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So there's this amazing history for Wisconsin sports fans to enjoy.
Has there ever been discussion of giving this and putting this inside of one of the Miller Park or inside of a Pfizer Forum at some point, and being able to have kind of like a tour with videos and everything else that goes along with it, similar to what Green Bay does for the Packers?
There has been, yes. We've had different conversations, and I think it's kind of challenging to figure out how to do it, you know, correctly. I think for now, it's amazing that right now people can come out right outside the UWM Panthers Arena and see these plaques and see the amazing history for free. And it's really kind of a unique thing for fans to be able to experience. Last year, coming into our 69th induction, we actually did a many months display at Discovery World. So young people could come out and do a Lambeau leap and take on the racing sausages and measure their wingspan against Giannis and sit in some county stadium seats and really have that experience. And I think in the meantime, we at least want to continue to bring different experiences connected with the Hall of Fame throughout the state of Wisconsin. So we're going to keep looking to do that until we figure out exactly what that kind of major full-time home may look like down the road.
Now, let me make sure here that we clarify. Nobody did that leap better than our own Leroy Butler, correct?
He, you know, is the originator. I'm sure, you know, even now he would, you know, leap better than any of you know, these young people could, so
I don't know if I'd go that far.
I mean, he'd still be the best.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd go that far. I mean, I don't know if he could even make the jump at this point.
Oh, come on, man. He could still get up there.
I don't know.
You seen this man?
I don't know.
It sounds like a challenge. Maybe we'll have to get Leroy against a couple of, you know, 9-year-olds at Discovery World, and we'll have a Lambeau leap off.
Well, don't worry. I mean, you have an incredibly fine-tuned athlete over here in Steve Sparky Pfeiffer that I think would also be able to take him on. Brian Lammy joining us, Lammy Sports Management and the Executive Director of the Wisconsin Athletic Hall of Fame. Brian, really appreciate it. And once again, Jordy Nelson and Brett Favre being inducted in this year, the 70th anniversary. One more time, where people can go and get tickets and book their tables for this tremendous event.
Please go to our website, wihalloffame.com, or call us anytime, 414-727-3605, and we'd love to hook you up.
Brian, appreciate it, man. We'll talk soon, all right?
Sounds great. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. That's Brian Lammy joining us once again, the Executive Director of the Wisconsin Athletic Hall of Fame, Brett Favre, going in this year. I don't know how it took so long, but I'm glad that he is officially
I'm guessing you'll be there. That is your guy.
That is my guy, man.
I can't see how you're not at
this
event.
But the issue is, like he was saying, I'd spend way too much money. There'd be some random autographed Brett Favre sock that I would just need, and then I would sit. So I might just, but yeah, I'm probably going to end up going.
Yeah, I assume
just to be that close. Just to be that close. No doubt about
what jersey are you going to wear?
Oh, I'd wear the Super Bowl 32 with the patch that I have on the side, number
four.
So
not the Jets jersey.
Not the New York Jets jersey. I don't know why everybody has such an issue with the Brett Favre New York Jets jersey.
Because that was the beginning of the divide. That was the original break.
See, I thought everybody was cool with that.
Heck no. It was cool. Nobody was cool with that.
I brought this up on the postgame show last night. It got brought up to me.
What?
About, that conversation, because Kawhi Leonard came back
Can I talk about that quick?
For sure.
The Kawhi Leonard thing, if you all have not seen the video of his return to Toronto last night, that is one of the classiest things I've seen an organization do for a player returning ever. Like, that is amazing.
Doc Rivers said it was the best one he's ever seen.
And Doc Rivers said after the game that it's almost like an injection into your blood. When you win a championship, you are connected with that organization and the players on that team and the coaches and everybody associated with that championship for the rest of your life.
For life.
Yep. No matter if you were only there 1 year like Kawhi, Kawhi will be a rock star in that town forever.
So it was cool. It was broached to me on the air. Would that be Milwaukee? Would we, as a fan base, welcome back Giannis if that happened and if he left in that fashion?
He won a championship, though?
Won a championship, then left.
Yes. Yes, if he won a championship. Leaves as a free agent, doesn't win a championship? Not going
to
be pretty.
Because Brett Favre won a championship, and I said the entire ride up to Lambeau Field, the first time I saw that man in a white and purple uniform, that I was going to be respectful, I was going to give a golf clap, I was going to be standing up in my seat and remember all the great moments that I watched. And when I'm telling you, when that white jersey with the purple number 4 in the little ugly gold trim came running out of the north end zone, that center tunnel, dude, some evil spirit came over me. And I have never been that hatred filled in my entire life.
I don't know how
my dad was concerned for my well-being.
This is not going to play out for Giannis the way Sam did for Brett. There will be a lot of hate and anger towards Giannis because this is the dude that said he's staying here forever. He's going to hang championship banners. He kept saying all this stuff, and I kept telling him, be quiet. Please be quiet. Yeah. Please stop talking like this.
Go to the Knicks and let's see how that works.
You don't know how this is going to go if you end up leaving, so just don't say it. And I believe that he believed that then, right? And now we'll see. Everybody believes he'll sign the Supermax, so this won't be an issue. But if he were to leave, right, it's not going to be like Brett, who every year for like 5 years, I may retire. I don't know. How much do you want me? Do you want me? Are you sure you want me? Call me back in a week and tell me you want me again.
I love you guys so much. I love Milwaukee so much. It's the best city ever.
Okay,
everybody taught me so much about it.
Okay, I'll come back then. And then the next year, we do it all again. And finally, Ted Thompson and Mike McGrady said, okay, about enough of this crap. Look, we got to figure out what we're doing here. So you figure this out. Then it's okay. I don't want to do it. I'm done. I'm going to retire. Just tears pouring, crying at the press conference.
I took off of school that day.
We had a Bears fan on Kiss FM. She was crying her head off, and she hated the Packers watching
it, right? I couldn't go to school that day.
So that whole thing happens, and then
fast
forward a few weeks. Man, I changed my mind. You know what? I do want to play. I know Aaron went through.
I cried in class.
Aaron went through all this stuff, but I want to play now. Now
this is Jem and Yanni's class.
Now I'm going to fly in, alert the media that I'm coming, so we all can follow the airplane coming in and landing. Everybody's there watching this dude and his wife get off the plane. There's people there. They
signs
won't allow him into the actual locker room or anything, so they make him
bring
go up in a suite on a family night. It was my God. I mean, it was some of the funnest times ever on the radio.
It was.
For sure. For doing sports talk, it was amazing because every day that dude said something stupid. And then you arranged the Greta Van Susteren interview and everything that goes along with that and that dumb stuff that happened. Yeah. So he built the hate towards him. But you just saw here not so long ago, he comes back to Lambeau Field. They pack that place and people go nuts.
Oh, yeah.
So that bridge that was completely burned appears to be at least partially built back up, if not all the way built up for most people.
Mm. Yeah.
But Giannis wins a championship, to go back to what you said about Kawhi. He'll get that.
And goes to the 76ers?
He rolls out.
And then talks about how this is the best place I've ever been before in my entire life?
No, because I think it's the Lakers if it's anything. But
okay.
But yeah, no.
Because it was broached to me, what if it's a rival? And I was thinking Boston, Philadelphia were the first ones that came to mind. I didn't even think of Chicago. Like, that doesn't come to my mind at all.
No, I don't think he'd go to Chicago.
He goes to Boston?
I'll still say LA.
I would not.
Still
I don't
say
know if,
Lakers.
I don't know if I'd be as PC as I would like to tell myself that I would be. Rob Reichel's always PC. Well, somewhat. He writes for Forbes.com.
Rob
and Conley
Reichel
Meany.
PC? Yeah. Those have never been put in the same sentence
That's
ever.
That's true. That's why he joins us next when he's Big Show on the Fan. Seven FM, The Fan, 1250 AM, and the free radio.com app. This is the Wendy's Big Show. I'm Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch, alongside CeeDee Sparky Pfeiffer and Leroy Butler, Leap 36, in the building with us. Be out at the Brat Stop tomorrow, coming up from 5 a.m. to 6 p.m. Joining us at 2 o'clock, 2 to 3, will be Leroy's old teammate. Now, number 52, right? Olin Cruz.
Yeah, both of those guys y'all named. Two of the best centers in this rivalry.
Frankie Bag of Donuts, yeah. Frankie Winner's going
to
be in attendance.
Frankie, to me, just to me, I'm a little biased.
Mm-hmm.
By far, one of the smartest guys I've ever talked football with.
Really?
He knows offense, defense, special. He'd be a great coach because he's a good communicator. And he's an excellent O's guy. Because I remember asking him about protection. I said, why can't, when you slide the line, why can't I get through that B gap? What is going on?
Can't do it.
He told me a way to get through.
Look at you.
He told me a way. And it worked on
now,
Steve
Young.
Now,
that's a good teammate.
It worked on Steve Young.
So
Frank, they had the same blocking style. And Rob Reichel knows that.
Well, that makes sense,
the same kind of because it was West Coast. Mm-hmm. Same principles. But I wanted to get through the B gap because it's the shortest path. He said, well, you know, the A gap, actually, the shortest path. But you also know over the center is a quicker way. I said, I didn't know that.
Which so then is, you started is, shooting
you,
right over
did,
the top.
Did you call it zero?
Yeah. It's right zero. Over the zero technique.
Yeah,
yep.
Yeah. So I would have Gilbert, like, stunt out, and it would just create a wide
open. I'll tell you that. Playing the zero tech, there is no more fun position in football than playing head up on somebody and just drilling them into the quarterback. No doubt about
just
it.
Just walk him on back.
Right into him.
On skates.
Especially when it's under center.
On skates.
And you know that you can get – now, nobody got Frank Winners to do this, but when you get him on that one skate and they get that foot right there, trip. You just step right on the quarterback's foot and he falls over. No better feeling than that, no doubt about it.
I just come through and touch him. That's the sack for me.
Amen. Rob Reichel joining us now, Forbes.com, Conley Media, on the Wendy's Big Show. Rob, this is a football team that last week you and all of us were kind of talking about how they could win against the Washington Redskins and we'd all feel good coming out of the game. I think collectively we can all agree 20-15 was not satisfying enough of a victory over the Redskins.
No, absolutely not. And, you know, Matt LaFleur, I think it was either Sunday or Monday. I started to get my days mixed up. But he said, we'll never apologize for winning. It's fixed and cleaned up. And the thing you start to worry about if you're a Packer fan is we're in week 15 now, and we can mark down 6, 8, 10 things that need to get fixed for them to, A, beat Chicago, B, win the division, C, do anything in the playoffs. And you start to wonder – if there's enough time, first of all, to do that, or secondly, just a lot of these things just have to be taken care of in the off season. If it's personnel, for example, more than scheme, and I think at this point in time, it probably is, Billy, where they have to go and find another four or five players to help get some of this stuff fixed. But give them credit, I guess, for winning and taking care of business and doing what they're supposed to do. But when they start running into the beasts of the NFL, the way they played last week against the Redskins certainly isn't going to hold up.
We had Lawrence Holmes on from 670 The Score at 3 o'clock. We were talking about this game and how the Bears plan on playing the Packers and all that stuff. And he pretty much just said it's all about stopping Aaron Jones for them. And let's see if Aaron Rodgers can beat them. And that's a tough deal to hear as a Packers fan when you got a Hall of Fame quarterback and you're talking to a guy that does sports talk radio in another market talking about they're not really worried about your quarterback. They want to stop the running back. Is that what it is for, do you think, a lot of teams now worrying about Aaron Jones more than Aaron Rodgers?
I do, Spark, and I think that's twofold. Number one, 2019 Aaron Rodgers is not 2014 Aaron Rodgers. I think everybody can admit that without – calling it a slight or a slam on the quarterback. He's still a top 10 or a top 8 quarterback in the league, Sparky, but he's not number one anymore. And then just secondly on that front is you know, his array of pass catchers, it puts fear into absolutely nobody outside of Devontae Adams. I mean, there's no question Aaron Jones is their second most dangerous guy in the passing game. So teams don't need to lose a lot of sleep. Defensive coordinators aren't spending a ton of time scheming to take away Alan Lazard and Jake Kumerow and MVS and Geronimo Allison and people like this. So I think that combination sparked. Plus, I mean, I do think on some levels it's a compliment to the run game, and it's certainly a compliment to Aaron Jones. I think his breakout season here has been enormous for this team and for the offense in general, and they would not be 10-3 if it wasn't for Aaron Jones. And I think the big thing comes Sunday, Sparky, is, you know, they're 4-0 in the games where Aaron Jones has 20-plus touches, and he had one of those last week. But then if you do the math and you look at the games that they followed up, the week after Jones has a big game, he's almost invisible the next week. I think the average is about 11 touches after his big games. And I don't know if that's Matt LaFleur game planning as much to say, hey, teams are going to take Jones away. We need to open up things for A, B, and C. But he can't do that. Jones is his most dynamic player right now on offense. He has to get 20-plus touches for this offense to score 27, 30, 34 points a game. And if he doesn't, guys, it's going to be really tough sledding starting Sunday against that Bears defense.
Yeah, just the thing about that, it was shocking to hear that, because that's what Tremont said about Ms. Trubisky. Matter of fact, we may even get that cut for you to listen to it. But after that game, remember, they just had got Amos from Chicago, and they swapped him and Clinton Dix. And he picked Mr. Trubisky off. And the sentiment was in the locker room, we wanted Mr. Trubisky to play quarterback. And it felt like they had a chance. So we asked Lawrence Holmes again, what's the difference? And he said, running the football. So do you think, you know, Trubisky now maybe running the ball a little bit more, like his first read is not there, he's just going to take off? Do you think the Packers have a problem with that?
He's certainly more dynamic than he was at the start of the year, LeBroy. And, you know, you watched what he did last week against Dallas with some of that read option stuff and how he's able to use his feet right now. He's far more dangerous and dynamic than he was this first time around. He and Najee seem to be kind of more in sync. The chemistry is better. And, you know, and LeBroy, it took him a while to get that running game going. It didn't make any sense to me this last offseason when they let Jordan Howard walk. It's taken a while to get Montgomery up to speed, but they seem to have him there now. His last month has been pretty good football, and they've kind of balanced things. Robinson's playing really well on the outside. He's got a couple other options in the passing game. But he's been sharp and crisp. Trubisky, I'm talking about. You guys remember 6 weeks ago, everybody was ready to run him out on a rail.
No doubt about it.
They've hit a point now where they're going to have to pick up that fifth-year option this particular offseason and find out what they have and give him at least another year as the starting quarterback. Clearly they missed guys badly when they moved up to two a few years back and passed on Mahomes and Watson and wound up taking Mitch. But that doesn't mean they can't win 10, 11, 12 football games a year moving forward with Mitch. The defense can stay dominant. They can balance it with a solid running game. And I think Trubisky, guys, can be somewhere in that 12 to 18 range of quarterbacks where if you would have asked me in, you know, the end of October, I would have said he's down there in the high 20s, low 30s. So
for sure.
He's made a jump, and it's made that Bears offense 10 times more dangerous than it was in the middle of the season. And I think a lot of Packer Nation was just kind of checking this off as a win a few weeks back, and it's going to be nothing like that come Sunday.
Rob Reichel joining us, Forbes.com,
yes,
and Conley
is.
Media here on the Wendy's Big Show.
What's that, Steve?
It's going to be a win. You're not picking them to win?
Well, I'm picking them to win, Sparky, but I think the average fan a month ago would have told you this was going to be 30-13.
Layup.
Yeah, you're right.
They're going to have a grinder now on their hands. It's a one-score game, Sparky.
Yeah, I think 7-10 points, somewhere in that area. Yeah, I think it'll be closer than what everybody thinks. The key really is going to be Trubisky. If you know, he throws a couple of opportunities for these DBs and they hold on to the football and get a couple turnovers, then they might be able to run away on him.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. He's been so much cleaner across the board in terms of his reads, his accuracy, I mean, he was really good in that Dallas game last week. He was terrific in the second half of the Thanksgiving game against Detroit to bring him back that particular day. I mean, he looks like a different guy. I mean, you're right, Spark. If they're given chances, they have to take advantage. But I mean, keep in mind, they've put a lot of balls as a secondary on the ground this year. They don't have an interception return for a touchdown as a defensive back, as a secondary unit. I mean, those are the kind of plays that absolutely change football games, and they could use one of those come Sunday, especially the way the offense has struggled here really since the bye week.
Talking with Rob Reichel, Forbes.com and Conley Media here on the Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Well, two of my best friends I have books with, that's Rob Reichel and Steve Palak. So
These
two guys are nice. I want to talk about this protection, because I'm going to tell you something. Now, that first game, I don't know if Steve, what's your name?
Bill Schmidt.
Bill. Remember it, but they sacked Rodgers five times. And Bill, I don't think that Khalil Mack had one of those sacks.
Did not have one of
them. Right. So you would think Leonard Floyd would be the guy, Rob, I think Leonard Holmes told he had 18 sacks and I think 7.5 against the Packers. He would be the guy. So protecting Aaron Rodgers, I think they can make way down the field, because Fuller, this my Bears friend. I don't know why I call him a friend, but he said Fuller had a chance to pick Aaron Rodgers four times over the years, and he dropped all four. So they figured down the field you can really, go after Tolliver or Prince, but that would mean that Aaron Rodgers has to hold on to the ball. Can they protect him?
I don't know. That's a $64,000 question, LeRoy.
Only 64.
Yeah, maybe a million, right?
Wish I had that kind of money.
35 million kind of money, right?
Yes.
I was surprised the pressure Washington got on him last week. Kerrigan, a couple of times, just walking Bulaga back into Rodgers' lap. Rodgers held the ball again far too long on a couple of those plays and wound up on the turf because of it. And I think Chicago's defensive front and defense in general is every bit as good and probably dwarfs Washington. Washington had an outstanding defensive line. Don't get me wrong; they were loaded with first round draft picks up there. But we've seen Chicago here build this thing over the last two or three years, and they statistically, guys, they're still in the top 10 in almost every relevant category, from total defense and points allowed and things like that. This is a pretty darn good unit coming to Green Bay. It's going to be a huge test, LeRoy. I mean, if they can hold up in that area, they're probably going to win the football game. If Rodgers finds himself on the turf 10 times in that game and five of them are sacked, then it's going to be really hard for them to overcome that.
Rob Reichel joining us for a couple of more minutes here on the Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Bears injury report just came out, and Akeem Hicks is not even listed on the injury report, so all systems seem that he will indeed go this weekend, and that is a major difference maker in the middle of that line for the Chicago Bears. Rob, I want to touch a little bit on the defense. We've been hypercritical of Josh Jackson and the lack of production that he has had in his first 2 years, but now you see him on the field pressed into duty without Brown and Kevin King this past weekend. What did you see out of the former second-round pick this past week?
Well, he can't play the slot. I think they've come to that full realization. His only real position is probably on the right side. I don't think he can hold up. He's going to be in a fight for his life, I'll say this, Billy, to make the roster next year. And they'll get back to normalcy, I think, this week when King returns. It certainly seems like Kevin King will play. And what that means, it probably means Josh Jackson's down to dime again, Billy, where he plays 6 or 8 or 10 snaps,
yeah,
or something like that. I'm not a big believer that his future is going to wind up being in Green Bay. He's got to get things turned around quickly, and he's taken another step back this year. I thought mid-season last year he was on the right path, but then he struggled so bad down the stretch a year ago, and he really hasn't made up that ground. This year, Billy, he's not quite twitch enough to put him inside and handle slot guys. I'm not sure what his best long-term position is, because, I mean, LeRoy, they took you at the one point in time and moved you from corner to safety, but you had the bulk and the girth to hold up in that particular spot. I don't think Jackson is one of those guys that can go ahead.
Thanks a lot for calling me fat, Rob.
That's the last thing I'm
talking about. Fatty.
5.5% fat, right?
That's my guy. That's my guy. But that's point well taken when you think about that, because I don't want to get on Owen Burks again. I really don't. I don't want to get into this.
Then don't. Nobody knows he's even on the team.
I know.
Just move on.
Rob, it would be so beautiful if you had 50 and 42 as your two stacked nickel linebackers. They can cover any running back. Because you know Cohen is going to get the ball. Him and Cordell Patterson are going to be in there. They're going to do all these tricks. And at the end of the day, they're going to pull the ride in the side, and Mitch Trubisky is just going to take off running. You have to have somebody athletic enough to stop some of these gimmicks so you can force him to throw the football if the Packers can get up, you know, 10 or 15, 20 points.
Right, and Sifney's just not athletic enough to go and clean a lot of that stuff up, is he?
Right.
If you watch that tape closely from last week, there's a couple of runs, Peterson, Geist, et cetera, that Blake Martinez should have had him dead to right.
Yep.
Ball and missed or was late getting there, just wasn't athletic enough to get there quick enough. And then they hemorrhaged Leroy into 10, 12, 15, 20. Even that play, Geist, that ended Geist's day, I think, was a 20-plus-yard run. And,
yep.
And Martinez had a shot in him on that particular play. But no, I mean, Sparky's right. Nobody knows Oren Burks is on the team anymore. That's looking like another wasted draft pick. And you look at that 2018 draft, guys, it's really starting to have some odor come from it. There's a stench there outside of Jair Alexander.
Yeah. You got one player.
Three wide receivers haven't done a whole lot. Jackson Burks, I mean, that's not shaping up to be one of Brian Gutekunst's finer moments. We'll give it a little bit of time yet, but that's a pretty lousy class right now. There.
And the punter, who was so good, he's went down.
Yeah, he was doing good at one point.
And a long snapper, so, I mean.
Nobody cares about that position.
A long snapper.
Well, at least they have a return.
Finer moments.
Rob, at least they have a return man now. Hey, they're in the black now.
You're right, Lou. They're in the black, and they will be written about, for years down the road in terms of historic failures, right? I guess when it comes to Green Bay special teams, guys, I guess that's a win.
Yeah, Ron Zook is a little bit upset somewhere.
I know,
He was pulling for that. He was pulling for them to be in the red. I can definitely tell that.
Yeah, you probably
Rob, it started at a 7-point number. It's been bet down to 4.5
really?
For the Packers favored this weekend at Lambeau.
Hold
Who
on,
do you
hold,
got?
Hold on one second. Before you make your prediction, I want to play that audio.
Oh, yes.
Before we forget, Dominic Foxworth, he's on ESPN in the morning, and they were talking this morning to him about, you know, the best 8 quarterbacks playing right now in the NFL. And he went through into this whole diatribe, and then you'll see what happens when he gets into talking about Aaron Rodgers.
You believe right now Kirk Cousins is a better quarterback, I'll just use him as an example, than Aaron Rodgers?
I don't know. I mean, I guess this is semantics. Playing better and is better. There have been 3 years now where Aaron Rodgers' numbers have been significantly down. He has a high passer rating because he doesn't turn the ball over. He is great at this point at one thing. Risk aversion. He doesn't turn the ball over, but they're one of the worst teams in the league in third down. He's average in the fourth quarter. He's not putting up big numbers throughout the course of the game. You said it was the coach's fault. We got you a new coach. You said you don't have no weapons. You got Adams and you got Aaron Jones in the backfield. You're not getting enough protection. Best O-line in the league. And his numbers are average in many cases and below average in a lot of cases. And when it matters most, third down and fourth quarter, he ain't special. He can sometimes wow you with a big play. However, he's not consistent throughout the course of the game.
Rob seems to be
you agree?
Confused.
You agree with what Foxworth said there? He doesn't have.
I was waiting for the question.
He doesn't have Rodgers. He doesn't have Rodgers in his top 8.
He does not.
Does not. He's got Ryan Tannehill in his top 8, but
and
not
Kirk
Aaron Rodgers.
That one might be a little bit crazy. I know Tannehill's been hot for 6 weeks, but I'd say Rodgers is right around that 8-10 range right now, Spark. I think a lot of what he said there is accurate. Risk aversion is kind of the first two words I'd use these days to describe Aaron Rodgers. He's far more concerned about that interception number staying low than he is at times about converting or taking a chance on a 3rd and 10 or 3rd and 12. There's a reason, guys, they're in all these 3rd and longs and not converting. I think the average 3rd down they've had this year is 3rd and 8. They're in the 37-38% range on converting him. It's because the quarterback won't take a chance because he's far more concerned about his QBR and his passer rating than he is picking up some of these and making sure he never throws an interception. I mean, I think Foxworth is right there when he says he wows you from time to time with the great throw like he made last week.
Oh, to Aaron Jones.
To Jones.
Yeah.
Yep, terrific throw. But, through the course of the game, again, Sparky, this is nothing like the Rodgers we saw from 2010 through 2014, 2015. The last few years, the numbers do kind of bear it out. I'll never say he's just a guy, but he's not in that discussion anymore of being one of the elite guys in the league.
Robbie Reichel, Forbes.com, Conley Media. You can never say that this man is not opinionated enough and also backs it up with straight facts.
Thanks.
Rob, where do you got this weekend, Packers-Bears?
Like I said at the start, a grinder, guys. I'm going to go 2017 Green Bay.
Ooh.
And, maybe it'll be that Irvin kid that tilts the field again with a big return, Leroy, to keep these special teams' momentum going.
Well, I'll take a Mason Crosby walk-off.
Two off Trubisky, shorten the field a little bit, and win it in almost a similar fashion, guys, than they did in week one. Only they'll, the offenses are a little more ahead right now than they were 3 months ago.
No doubt about it. That offensive performance was putrid that we saw down there in week one. Rob, appreciate it, man.
Thanks
we'll
a
talk
lot,
next
Rob.
Week, all right?
All right, guys. Have a great weekend.
That's Rob Reichel joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline from Forbes.com and
Conley
Media.
Joel, did you hear what he said about your boy?
We'll discuss this after the break.
I hope Joel ain't listening.
Risk aversion is...
Never heard of that before.
It's a big word for saying don't throw interceptions. Yeah. Or in the philosophy I've always had risk is aversion. End every possession with a kick. And I'm going to be very happy if you're doing that.
Well,
so
in that top eight should have has a worse record than Aaron Rodgers. There's only a few quarterbacks that have a better record than him.
No doubt about it. But are they indeed better? Dominic Foxworth said that Aaron Rodgers isn't even in the top eight. Does that mean that he's not elite at this moment? We'll discuss next. It's the Wendy's Big Show on 105.7 FM, The Fan, 1250 AM, and the freeradio.com app.
Free.
We're going down to the Brat Stop tomorrow, so I had to clean up and make sure I look all good and
fresh.
Yeah,
make sure
and
you shower.
Oh, I got a shower, too?
Yes. Your girl texted me and said, have my baby shower. Like, you stay with me.
But they have a baby?
No, he's her baby.
Oh, I was going to say, you're breaking news there. Hey, Harry's Razors.
They always do that. Mandela's not here. No. Mandela used to count those.
Yeah, it's okay.
I said he did it again,
yeah,
Mandela.
There's walk-offs, yeah.
Yeah, he did it.
That'd be news to me,
y'all
too.
Y'all weren't catching it. I was catching it. You do it.
That's because you're the smart guy.
You do it all the time. Y'all just never catch it.
But if there was a baby, would Billy walk off? Hey, what guy in your life are you shopping for this holiday season? Ask him what to shop for. Harry's Razors. That's where you have to go. They are number one when it comes to what you want to get for your dad, your uncle, your brother. That's Jeez. What you want to do. Harry's Razors. Listeners of The Big Show can now get $5 off any shave set by using code Sparky at Harry's.com. Free shipping ends on December 16th. Only a couple days left, so act now. Harry's Razors. Nice, comfortable glide, right? Nice, smooth shave.
Smooth.
Significant other will absolutely love how smooth your skin is after you shave. Practical gift that you can use, too. Harry's makes sharp blades at last. German engineered and award-winning. Plus, Harry's blade refills are as low as $2 each, so your guy will save money over time. And don't forget, holiday sets start at just $20. Not bad, huh? It's a special offer for fans of the Wendy's Big Show. We've partnered with Harry's to give you $5 off any shave set, including their limited edition holiday sets, when you enter Sparky at Harry's.com. Plus, you'll get free shipping. That's right, free. Each Harry's shaving set comes with a weighted handle, and this is a good one, with an option to engrave your person's name right on there, right? Billy is the best. Right there, and you just give it to Baby Tosh, and he's all set. Five-blade razor cartridges, foaming shave gel for a rich lather, travel cover to protect your blades, packaged in a handsome holiday gift box, just like Billy. Free shipping ends on December 16th, so act now. Just use code Sparky at Harry's.com. That's Sparky.
Wendy's Big Show here on 105.7 FM, 1250 AM, and the freeradio.com app. Get an update from Mike Clemens, and we're back after this.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.